Hello, race fans, and welcome to Disc Golf Daily. It is Friday, May 10th. Today, we will be discussing instant replay, officiating, and using media to resolve rules questions. Join the conversation on X or Instagram, and if you're old like me, we even have a Facebook page. Or heck, just mail me a letter. We are the podcast that gets you caught up with disc golf news and growth in about 10 minutes. Our first story of the day, the Copenhagen Open. They've got 8 1,020 rated players, which includes two Americans. Just for some simple comparisons, Jonesboro had 52. There's a $60,000 anticipated payout with 140 players. The DGN live coverage of the women starts at 3:40 a.m. Eastern Time and 9:40 a.m. Eastern Time for the men. My dark horse pick is Donnie L. Danielson, primarily because I love his name. I remember watching last year and the announcers kept referring to Donnie L., and there was no one with that name on the card. Then I finally realized it's spelled the same as Daniel, just pronounced differently. I love learning that I'm an idiot. Anyway, luckily it happens several times every day. The Copenhagen Open is a great start to the DGPT Europe season, and I will be excited to watch the men live every morning and then watch the women before I look at the interwebs. Tune in all weekend on DGN, and if you're in Europe and you had Disc Golf Stream, you get to watch for free. And now let's look into instant replay in disc golf. I want to start by giving a shout out to Sean G. Thanks for the thoughtful question and proposal that prompted the following. If you'd like to have a topic discussed on Disc Golf Daily, shoot us an email at discgolfdaily@aol.com. It is December 2017. We are in the midst of the NFL playoffs. The Patriots lead the Steelers 27-24 with time running out. The Steelers throw what appears to be a touchdown for the go-ahead score. Instant replay determines that the player did not have control of the ball as they crossed the goal line. Touchdown overturned. Two plays later, the Steelers throw an interception. Game over. A couple games later, the Patriots would go on to win their fifth Super Bowl. As a fun side note, in 1986, the first year instant replay was used in the NFL, the Oakland Raiders had a touchdown ruled as incomplete. The official in the replay booth walkie-talkied down to the field and said, "Pass incomplete." The call on the field was a completed pass, but the guy in the booth saw that he was not in, and so called down and said, "Pass incomplete." The referee on the field heard, "Pass is complete," so it was ruled a touchdown, even though in the booth they knew it was not a touchdown. It's caused a little bit of a controversy. The Raiders would go on to win by a touchdown. The Chiefs would end up making the playoffs, but they did not win the division and get a bye by just one game. If they had won this game, they would have gotten a bye, and who knows what would have happened. As it was, they did not get a bye. They had an away game, and they lost in New York to the Jets. Every instant replay system has been modified over time. It is important to understand we can't get things right in every case, but I would argue that we should get things right as often as possible. In today's podcast, we're going to be talking about three things: video replay at the highest level events, photo evidence at all events, and officials. Let's look at these one at a time. First, as opposed to all of them at the same time. First, video replay. I believe the foot fault on the lead card is just as important as the foot fault on the 10th card. Either way, it is one stroke. Having said that, the foot fault on the lead card will have a larger impact on the tournament results in regards to payout, tour points, and prestige. In my opinion, we should always strive to get things as correct as possible. I've often heard the argument that we should not use video replay in disc golf until we can use video replay for everyone. Let's walk through this logic. There's an incorrect foot fault call on the lead card and on the 10th card. For the sake of argument, let's presume in both cases a player was called for a foot fault and in fact did not foot fault. In both cases, a player is mistakenly given a one-stroke penalty. In both cases, there was no intended malice. It was a genuine mistake. We have three options that I can see. Implement no video replay because we can't do it for everyone. Implement video replay for as many cards as possible. Or implement video replay only during playoffs when all throws are caught on video. As I see it, the third option is the low bar. As soon as it is technically and financially possible, this should be done. At the very least, we should have video replay for extra holes. Now to the real question, the player in second place and the player in 40th place have both been incorrectly called for a foot fault. We have an option of getting both of these calls wrong or one of these calls wrong. I would argue we should always strive to make as few mistakes as possible while providing a fair playing experience. The potential problem arises if we allow the video replay to make active calls. At that point, the players on the card with active video calls are being scrutinized at a higher level than the other players. I would deem this as unfair. Any video replay system, in my opinion, should only be used to confirm or overturn calls that were made on the course, whether they be by the group or by the a marshal walking with the group. There is a cautionary tale from golf. Video replay has been used to call a player for replacing their ball on the green in the wrong spot, specifically about an inch away from where it should have been. It was an honest mistake. It was caught by someone watching on television. They called in and said the person put it in the wrong place. Another player grazed the sand in their backswing, which is a rules violation. This was caught on slow motion video, but not noticed in real time. The penalty was assessed later. And a third player unintentionally possibly moved their ball on the green with their club and was assessed a penalty after the fact. The USGA and the PGA changed this rule during the season so that these types of calls could only be made if the violation was clearly egregious and should have been seen by the naked eye. We should be aware of not becoming so reliant on video evidence that we change the feel and integrity of our sport. So the philosophical question, is it fair to get calls right more often on the top cards? This question should go to the players. I personally believe players would rather have the most accurate and consistent rules interpretations as possible, knowing that over time, a higher and higher percentage of play will be videotaped. Having said that, I would go with the players' opinions on this over my own. It's their livelihood. They will have additional considerations and feelings on the topic, things that I likely have not considered. Also, we would need to make sure that this does not interrupt the speed of play. Luckily, in disc golf, we can play a provisional, and this can be looked at over the next 5 to 10 minutes, and then the rule can be made. We can make this pretty easy and painless. Obviously, if it's the 18th hole and coming down to the wire, maybe you want to wait for the call. But in general, we don't need to do that. Part 2 of this conversation is officials on the ground. I am glad that the Pro Tour and the PDGA had an official walking with the group during the playoff holes at DDO. I hope and suspect that this is standard procedure. It brings out the question of what groups should officials walk with during the tournament. In my opinion, we should strive to grow into the system that golf has implemented, with officials placed strategically around the course and responsible for certain holes. The scorekeepers or players are able to call the officials over at any time to help with a rule determination or clarification. I do like the players having the opportunity to request an official walk with their card in case they anticipate potential problems arising. That's something that we do, and I think we do it well. I don't think it's realistic to try to grow into officials being on every card, and it kind of goes against the whole idea of integrity and self-officiating that is baked into our sport. Lastly, I'd like to close with an adjustment to the rules whose time has come. PDGA Rule 1.12, Paragraph H, states, "Video evidence or other media is not allowed for the purpose of making rules for sanctioned play." I'll say that again. You're not allowed to use video or photos for the purposes of making rules. Not making rules, making rule calls. First, this rule needs to be changed. Second, the PDGA needs to make it easier to submit photos and short videos to assist with rules calls. Since 2012, I've been a TD for a long time, by the way, Since 2012, I have been encouraging players in my events to take photographs of any questionable calls. If a disc is lying in a funny place relative to OB, if an old rope is dredged up and makes a call confusing, if there's a question about whether an out-of-place paver is part of the tee, the more information the tournament director has to make provisional calls and make adjustments for following rounds, the better. I agreed with this rule about not using photos or video evidence back when it was first implemented, because not everyone had the ability to take photos or videos. Now that smartphones are ubiquitous, this rule definitely needs to be removed, or better yet, worded to encourage the use of photos and short videos to help with provisional calls and rules questions. And for the record, can I just say discs end up in the craziest places? Holy golly. One of the greatest things the PDGA did in the past decade is create the Tournament Director Hotline. If you have any questions about rulings you are making at an event, you can call the PDGA hotline and talk through it with a PDGA official. I've used this multiple times and have always been happy with the result. Additionally, I've got backup if there are any questions after the fact. Imagine a system where a photograph and a small blurb from the group could be put into the PDGA scoring app through an app or the web. Any provisionals or rules questions that arise during the tournament could be addressed quite quickly. Additionally, if the TD wanted assistance with the call, they could push the question to the PDGA hotline with the press of a button. Provisionals could be resolved during the round, giving players more complete scoring information and speeding up the process. All players on the card would need to sign off on the text that was sent with the question, and there are probably some other logistic concerns that I'm not thinking of. I believe the PDGA has an ability to utilize their scoring app and scoring webpage to make tournaments run even more smoothly and create an improved TD support structure. We are a young sport. We are a growing sport. And because of our roots, we are a technologically advanced sport. We should embrace all of these to make the game as fun and fair and easy to manage as possible. If you agree, send your thoughts or a link to this podcast to your PDGA state coordinator. Ask them what they think. If they agree, ask them to push it up the food chain to the next level and see if we can make change happen. If they don't agree, put your name in the hat to become state coordinator. Just kidding. But seriously, maybe you should run. Links to your state coordinator, as well as ways to get on the state coordinator ballot, in the show notes. Thanks for listening. If you have any thoughts, news, or opinions, email us at discgolfdaily@aol.com. Have fun, throw them straight, and hit the thin gap.